Good evening. The Paradise Town Board will come to order April 30th, 2024, 7 o'clock. And if you join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. Thank you.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thank you for being here. I'd like to go over some of the, let the record reflect that the board members are present with the exception of Susan Phillips, Chair, and Caitlin Cunningham, Vice Chair, and I'll be acting Chair tonight. The Secretary is here. County introductions? And just at the top of the agenda, go over a couple of items. Items on the agenda may be taken out of order. The board may combine two or more agenda items for consideration. The board may remove an item from the agenda or delay discussion relating to an item at any time. All planning and zoning matters heard for this meeting are forwarded to the Board of County Commissioners or the Planning Commission. So we are not the final word. We are the recommending board. Okay? So just because we deny it or approve it here does not mean that that will be the final outcome. The final outcome will either be the Planning Commission or the Board of County Commission, and that's on the agenda item, I believe, off to the right. You see the date and the BCC or PC. If you at this time would turn off or mute your cell phones or other electronic devices so not disturb the meeting, which I need to do right now. Let me get that taken care of real quick. And if you have any private conversations or anything of that matter, we have a lot of competition with the ventilation in this this room. So if you take any private conversations or what have you that you want to talk with your neighbor out in the lobby out there, you're welcome to do that, or you can go out here in this lobby over to my left. The other two items, I'll leave that for all of you to take a look at. Do we have an approval of the... I guess I'll read the public comment first. At this point, I'll give you the public comment. This is a period devoted to comments by the general public about items on this agenda. No discussion, action, or vote may be taken on this agenda item. You will be afforded the opportunity to speak on individual public hearing items at the time they are presented. If you wish to speak to the board about items within its jurisdiction but not appearing on this agenda, you must wait until the comments by the general public period listed at the end of the agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. And if you'd please step up and use the microphone here on the table. If that will clearly state your name and address, and please spell your last name for the record. The meeting is recorded, and that will be on the county's website. If any member of the board council wishes to extend the link presentation, this will be done by the chairperson or the board by majority vote. Do we have an approval for the minutes for April 9th, 2024?
Mr. Chair, I move to approve the minutes for April 9th, 2024.
We have a motion to approve the minutes from the April 9th, 2024 meeting. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Approval of the agenda for tonight's meeting, April 30th, 2024.
I'd like to make an amendment to approve the agenda for April 30th, 2024.
We have a motion to approve the April 30th, 2024 meeting tonight with no changes. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Do we have any informational items? So with that, we will move on to planning and zoning. Item, is there anyone want to make a comment before we get started? Okay. Item number one, UC 240098, Annie Oakley Investors LLC, use permits for the following. One, vehicle rental. Two, outdoor storage and display. Waivers of development standards for the following. One, reduce landscape area. Two, eliminate significant trees. Three, reduce throat depth. And four, reduce driveway departure. And five, reduce driveway approach distance. Design review for proposed electronic I'm sorry, proposed electric vehicle automobile maintenance and repair paint and body shop on 5.4 acres in an IP industrial park zone within the airport environs AE65 overlay, generally located in the northwest corner of Antioch Drive and Post Road within Paradise.
Marissa Berman, 1980, Festival Plaza Drive, here tonight on behalf of the applicants. This is our site here. It's over 5 acres. The southwest corner of Silvestri and Annie O.C. We are zoned IP and planned business employment. Surrounding the site is additional office warehouse to the west, north, and east. To the south, we have multifamily zone RF18, an additional office warehouse to the south, west here. You're proposing a one building collision center for electric vehicles. It's one building, one story, just over 41,000 square feet. All of the repair and service activities are going to take place inside of the building. That's everything from paint to minor to major service work on these cars. To the north of the building is outdoor storage for the EV company only. Cars will be stored here that are being worked on, you know, waiting to be picked up by customers. This area is going to be secured by access gates here and here. So all of this is going to be for storage only. Customer parking is to the south of the building here, near the two main access points, one off of Post Road here, and the other off of Annie Oakley, this is here. We are also requesting a use permit for vehicle rental and the outdoor storage that I mentioned earlier. With the overall, it's an overall parking lot, this is just the customer parking. There's going to be about 20 stalls set aside for rentals, just for these customers that are getting their car serviced and you can rent a car for a short period of time. You have a few waivers for curb depth, departure distance, and approach distance, all of which Public Works has no issue with, although they do not meet the minimum required length. We do have a waiver for tree preservation. The applicant here is going to be removing all of the existing trees along these three roads. And under Title 30, they're considered significant trees. However, the applicant here wants to completely remove them and install new trees and shrubs for a fresh look to completely enhance the surrounding area. Overall, we're providing way more trees than required. I believe it's 133 trees overall, where 101 are required. Within that are going to be 58 large trees. This plan here, the green here, shows the landscaping that's going to be put in around the perimeter. The buildings will be made up of concrete panels, aluminum panels with a charcoal gray and red color scheme. It's going to be very modern, clean look for the area, very simple, very contemporary. Like I said, here's a better view of the landscaping proposed, both inside of the storage area, as well as customer parking lot, and again, around the perimeter of the site. As I mentioned, staff is recommending approval over the entirety of the application, with the exception of the waiver number 2 for tree preservation. But the applicant would request a complete approval of the entire application. I'll submit all those remarks, so let's take any questions.
Okay. At this point, I'm going to open it up to the public if anybody would like to speak on this item. Seeing no one, I'll close it to public and open it to the board. I guess I have a question about the trees. It's not that they're not going to have any trees. They're going to plant new trees. Is that an issue with the county?
The new code requires preservation of existing trees. And so to not preserve those trees, they have to file for the waiver. In this case, they're providing additional to the site.
So they apply for the waiver, then they have to pay the fee for removing the trees? Or if they replace them, they don't have to pay them?
So I put my project specific to make sure that we didn't have anything in it. So in this case, I don't believe they would have to pay an additional fee towards the tree because of how they're processing them.
So I guess my other question is, why do you want to get rid of the trees that are there?
Like I mentioned, the applicant was looking for just a complete overhaul to completely freshen the look and have, you know, just consistency sake, all new trees, all new shrubs to enhance this parking lot area. So this is in an existing parking lot since 1989, along with, you know, this industrial warehouse to the west. And so it's just, you know, just like existing parking lot, this will completely lighten the area and increase, you know, buffering, between the where they rent this out and, you know, across the area.
So you'd be getting rid of how many trees and replacing? You're going to have, how many trees are you getting rid of and how many are you putting in again?
So that's what's kind of unclear. The code says significant trees. And so we've gone out there, we're trying to determine which of the trees are actually significant. I believe it's a height and a caliper requirement. There's about five trees along the north property line and eight along this along the eastern property line, and maybe one along the south. But to determine, you know, the specific number of what's considered significant tree under the code, we're still trying to figure that out.
So you don't know what is going to go in there.
At this point, we're not sure what that fine would look like if assessed.
So when they're mandated to put the trees back in, do they have to put the same size tree under Title 30? Because that's my issue with the tree removal. It's like when we do this, and we've done this all over the district, we removed all the plants, we put rocks, and they put these little plants. And guess what? They don't survive. So the area gets all just, the shrubs are gone. And then the trees are gone. And then they don't get replanted. And so I guess I have a big problem with that when you're tearing out something substantial that is already there. So
code does have a minimum caliper size that they have to follow for small, medium, and large. And I know the large is 3 inches in caliper. So that's one of the standards that they have to show. Hopefully that helps give you some ease. It's no longer going to be a stick.
Okay.
I guess the problem I have is that it seems rather ambiguous what they're going to do. I mean, they're going to take out these trees, and we don't have a clue what they're going to put in.
Well, within the 133 trees that we're putting in, 58 of those trees are large trees. These Indian rosewood trees here. So 24-inch box trees, categorized as large trees. And in addition to that, other medium-sized trees and shrubs. So compared to what is there now, there's going to be significantly more. But I understand the maturity of the tree is the issue.
The biggest issue I have with that is, like everybody else has spoken about, is I do not like the idea of taking down mature trees. It takes an awful lot of water and energy to put in new trees, and you already have existing trees that are healthy. You know, the tree is not healthy, and I can see, yes, we need to remove them. But healthy trees, the amount of water, the amount of time, the amount of conservation we go to regrow these trees is significant. And that
which one do I make a, which waiver is that? The waiver standard, the two, right, number two?
If you're going to keep the trees, it's pretty much the staff recommendation.
So just keep it the staff recommendation?
For use permits, waivers, whatever.
Okay, so I think I'm going to say this correctly. I'm going to make a a motion to deny, do I use?
So you said it was really for them, you don't want to have any.
Okay, so the use permit for number one and two, I make a motion to approve. And then the waiver development standards, number one, I make a motion to, is that the tree one, right? Yeah, deny.
That's reducing the tree plants and the project.
Okay, so would that be where the trees are though? Is that going to affect? Okay, so yeah. That's number two. So I make a motion for number, the developer of the standards for number one to approve. I make a motion to waiver development of the standards number two to deny. And I think that's it.
Okay. And then
and then have we already, that's the building, right?
No, we just developed standards 3, 4, and 5. Are you approving it?
Approved.
Approving number 5. And then there's a design committee process.
Okay.
We got it.
So as I get it, we have a motion to approve the use permit, waivers, and development standards 1, 3, and 5, and the design review and deny the waiver of development standards number 2. Is that down to? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. So through, that's along staff's recommendation.
Thank you.
Okay, item number 2, WS 24-0006, County of Clark, PK and Commercial Service, waivers of development standards for the following. Number 1, reduce departure distance. 2, reduce approach distance. 3, driveway width. And 4, throat depth. Design review for proposed fire station on a 1.0-acre portion of 4.5 acres in a PF public facility zone, generally located in the northeast corner of Lana Drive and Pancho Villa Drive within Paradise.
Good evening. Pancho Villa. Lou Han on behalf of CSK Architects in support of the
project. Can you repeat your name?
Yes, Chris Lujan, L-U-J-A-N, TSK Architects.
Thank you.
314 South Water Street, 89015. Mm-hmm. On behalf of Clark County Road Property Management, Clark County Fire Department, we'd like to share with you the proposed fire station number 62, as noted, along the northeast intersection of Pancho Villa Drive and Lana Drive. This under a 13,000 square foot facility encompasses just under an acre. And within this footprint, we've been able to bring on support for 3 apparatus bays, which on each shift would occupy the operational staff of 10 crew members. This facility sits, as noted, at the northeast intersection of the existing Pancho Villa and Lana Drive. Situationally, along the north, as a buffer between the existing parkway, we have staff member secure parking. And on the south portion of the frontage, the departure for any of the apparatus vehicles themselves heading either east towards Nellis or very seldomly to the west. Situated on site, we understand that limiting the footprint constraints. We've tried to maximize the site without disturbing as much of the existing area as possible. Currently, there is an existing parking lot, and largely this facility sits on an existing parking lot. The waivers that we've requested for consideration largely support issues of life safety, right? So given the size of the apparatus, the vehicles that are coming for ingress and egress from the site, the approach distances, since it is a relatively small site, small footprint, are in fact justified towards the corner, so those are some of the requests that you'll notice in here. And lastly, the request for the driveway and road depth. Given the fact that on the east portion of the site we do have a small visitor parking area, with a neighborhood context, we have a narrower than typical situation for what would be considered perhaps a commercial driveway, so we've tried to keep the residential scale. When you bring in public facilities into some of the residential overlays, this is one of the issues that may come up, but again, we've tried to limit this interference and provide for clear lines of sight for any pedestrians walking along the site long term. From the architectural character, again, with respect to the existing neighborhood context, we tried to bring this public facility into a scale that responds accordingly. We've incorporated a variety of materials that are common to the area, whether that be masonry block, stucco, plaster finish, metal panel facade edge treatments, as well as provided a variety of roof line heights and angles. Given, again, the existing neighborhood context, we feel that this does not negatively impact the existing surrounding fabric. As well, we try to ensure that identity of the facility is easily recognizable through the noticeable yellow hues associated with Park County Fire Department to enhance the overall awareness of, in fact, who occupies the building, because the majority of the rest of the building is, in fact, complementary to the surrounding tones and hues of the neighborhood residences. Last exhibit for demonstration, again, shows that along that east side, we do have access for visitor parking. We have a small public transition point to access the parkway. We have a small public amenity area that we, again, want to respect while ensuring that any of the secure parking for crew members is maintained and clear lines of sight for egressing vehicles is preserved. Thank you.
Is there anyone in the public who would like to speak on this item?
Mount Vista, Seldorf, CS, MAC, IAS. How many of you have been on social media or just flipped through the paper and seen that father and son planting a tree? Then the next picture, it's the son to help the dad plant the tree, and he's they made a swing on one of the branches of the tree, and he says, "Thank you, Dad." That's what this park is. How many of you have actually gone and sat underneath that tree canopy where this fire station is going to be and enjoyed the birds chirping, the mature trees that you guys are trying to take down, the heart of the community that's there? I understand we need a fire station for that area, but I think you guys are being a little bit greedy, biting off from that park. I look forward to throwing a baseball and enjoying that park and showing my kid how to ride a bicycle on that parking lot, on that parking. With all the resources and that are afforded to the government, I just think that you, with businesses that have failed up and down Boulder Highway, you guys can purchase a piece of property rather than taking what this neighborhood enjoys there. It's been there since 1970, from what I understand. And for you guys just to say that you guys are going to put something and design it to the neighborhood's standards, you guys are taking the neighborhood's heart away. There's nothing, I mean, you guys got limited parking for whatever event you guys are going to hold, and there's no other parking for events that are going to be held for the baseball people that go and practice. But you guys are going to create chaos on the street. I understand we need a fire station in the area, but I know there's more resources than taking off that little corner of the park. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Does anyone else like to speak on the item? Okay, seeing no one else, I'll pose it to the public. Would you like to respond? Can you tell us a little bit about the park and how it's going to affect
you? Again, appreciate the feedback and response. So perhaps this shows you were mentioning enjoying time with.
If you'd address the board, please.
Yes, sir. To address issues of concerns about sharing in public amenity spaces. Again, largely the footprint of this development we were to continue this across, is in fact an existing parking lot. Parking studies that have been conducted in the area predict that oftentimes the streets, which are wide enough to have
please address the
street side parking, are maintained. So we looked to impinge any of the street side parking along the perimeter of the park, as was originally intended. And in fact, the original intended use that's previously mapped on this was originally home sites. These home sites didn't sell. So at this point, that became a parking lot to support the park that was a developer's agreement to the north side. So when we look at this, yes, baseball will be maintained. We have not engaged any encroachment upon the backstops. We've maintained maintenance of the existing restroom facilities, gazebo areas, and in fact, very few trees, in fact, will be displaced outside of the parking lot itself.
Very few trees.
Okay. That's it?
Sure.
All right. And I'll open it to the board.
Where's the closest firehouse compared to where this one's going? How far in the distance for the neighborhood that you're trying to take over the property? How far is it for the...
So this portion of their response area is actually kind of difficult to give an exact say as the bird flies. It actually falls within the responsibility for three nearby fire stations. So this area with an aging community and growing population nearby, as we continue to see development, actually is supported by Fire Station 61, a predecessor approximately 2 miles to the north. I believe the other nearest station is approximately 2.5 miles to the east. So at this point, you really are kind of left in a response, a challenging area for response times.
And with being near Boulder, why are we not looking at properties that are more commercial design instead of within a neighborhood that's been already there and established with that park? Why are we not looking at other, like he's correct, there's plenty in the area that is vacant and just sitting there. So why are we not looking at more of a commercial?
This is already a public facility zoned property. It's already Clark County property. So without adding expense to acquiring properties at elevated costs at these times, this actually made more fiscal sense to the taxpayer dollars.
Okay, so you really, you have, that was the parking to the park. Is that?
I'm sorry, could
I? Is that the parking to the park where it's going to
sit? This is parking in support of the park, but again, the original park, in order to meet parking requirements, is actually achievable by using the street side parking that already exists.
Okay. And then everything around it is residential?
Correct.
Okay. So I guess the concern that I have is the fire trucks leaving, particularly at night. And that's what they're going to be hearing all the time, is the sirens from those fire trucks. Or what is the plan then?
Neighborhood environs, you actually start using arterial roadways before you actually announce that you can depart. There might be a flasher that within the firehouse alerts any vehicles or pedestrians if that would happen, but in fact the sirens would not be engaged. There are flashers planned down along Nellis as well as in front of the fire station to help alert them.
So when they leave the fire station, it's just going to be their lights.
Correct.
So they get down to the main.
Yes, so that's what happens most likely to Nellis, at which point that's when they get engaged, just as any other response vehicle would be.
Uh-huh. That's the plan. Because I don't see that with Metro.
I'm sorry, what?
I don't see that with Metro, and I'm sure that was in the plan way back in the day. With their substation, and those sirens go off right in the parking lot. So I have a concern that, yes, that's the plan, but will they stick to that plan over the years?
I believe that training would ask them to do so, and there's obviously community awareness that they build with the community, and certainly, yes, that would be.
And I have faith that you will do that because my son-in-law to be is a fireman and they're really good at that. But I do have a problem with the location of this. And I looked in the overall area about there's no other parks or any resources. I think there's a school nearby but there's no other resources for the neighborhood. There's not, I mean, if you're looking at a scale, there's nothing. And then you have commercial on the other side. So I just think that, granted, the funding is there because it's already owned by a county or whatever, but I just think that spot, you're taking a lot from these people that are, if they do, I don't know how many people use that park on a day. Have we done a study on that? How many people have actually used, like, is it actually used a lot, or is it you're seeing the vacancy of the park, and this gentleman just happens to have it near his house and he likes it, which I have a park near my house and my family liked it for years. So I'd like to see what kind of study we have on that to see if it's being utilized, and if it's being utilized for birthday parties, we need the parking. You know, if they're doing neighborhood events, I like it in my neighborhood events, we throw gatherings and we walk over there. So I think I'm concerned that they don't have any other resources in that area.
I'd actually say that this provides a betterment versus the unsecured parking lot that is currently occupying that corner. Notice that we've designated a small enclosed conference room. So this conference room is strategically located behind the baseball field so that when events do occur in support of these leagues, you now have a conditioned area to hold refreshments, provide that direct access for ADA stalls and immediate response parking. But again, when you visit the park, most park random days, there is not a challenge to parking. And again, say this building occupies what would have been at one point buildable residential lots. And truly, the vast majority of the park as a green open space has remained untouched.
Except they have to park on the street and get through the trees to get to the park.
There's
you said the parking's on the street now.
Yeah, there's a curbside sidewalk. There's a variety of meandering trails to get you.
Can you turn that around so we can see it? Or put it on the, I don't know, maybe it's too big for that.
Just flip the camera.
Just flip the camera.
Yeah, so
you can leave it on the easel. Yeah, there you go. Okay, and then everybody can see it. And what were you going to show us?
Again, this fence line. Previously, parking.
Mm-hmm.
Street perimeter. Currently, along that side, you have pedestrian sidewalks. You have multiple areas for park ingress and egress.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not as if these trees are a landscape buffer to prevent people from coming. In fact, that for the most part, they're a big neighborhood. Likely they are served immediately by walking,
mm-hmm.
and the few people who will come from outside that neighborhood, again, you see very few cars in this park.
So the parking lot, how many cars does it hold?
This current parking?
Yeah.
The public parking, 6. The requirements for this park are very low when you use the existing parking.
So we're talking how many spaces we're losing on parking?
I think in net, none. Because again, this parking lot, with what you're using on the street.
How many spaces are we losing that are in the parking lot?
In the parking lot? I think that was somewhere in the range of 20.
Okay. So you can get 20 cars on the side street.
So, again, appreciate the feedback. Also understanding that the waivers that are applying, this has already gone through a variety of reviews. So also trying to understand what the impacts of those are.
How much of the park is actually going to be removed? Because it doesn't seem like we're not losing the actual park area.
Can I add to the comments? I'm from Clark County, we're property manager.
If you'd like to come up to the give us your name and address.
Okay. My name is Monica Tate. My address is 500 South Grand Central Parkway. One thing I'd like to also inform the board here is that the area we're taking yes is a majority of the parking lot, but also we have an inactive splash pad here that is constantly damaged. Our CAM operations is constantly repairing it and then has to address problems due to the unhoused locals that occupy either the shade structure, and so we're constantly having to send park security out there to address that. So we have it. We have an inoperable splash pad that we're also consuming that is taking this parking lot for the staff of the fire station. So I do understand the comments about the park. I live in Mountain's Edge. I have no sidewalks, I have no streetlights, and I walk to my park. So I completely understand. But at the same time, there is still a trail here along the street that permits pedestrian access. There is still access to the park and to the baseball fields right over here as well, pedestrian access for the neighborhood. When you're on this, I believe this is another busy street, I want to say Nellis or Harmon, right here. So a lot of this neighborhood that would be attending this park can walk to it just as I do in Mountain's Edge.
Really quick, because I'm just concerned about the parking and we're removing it, and he was saying baseball games. So if you have any baseball games there, the neighbors that maybe are not using the park and they're parking along the street, you're gonna kind of consume that neighborhood because there's no parking. So is there a lot of games that are held at that park? Like mine has games every weekend because it's a bigger park. You know what I mean? It's like utilized for soccer, baseball. So is that park utilizing that?
So as a former baseball mom, that field is only one field, so you'll only have, you know, one game at a time. So it won't consume as much as you typically would if you had four different diamonds at the park. This is a very long street here that is not very frequently occupied. Even the residents, even on a regular day, it's not occupied, you know, with residents parking their cars there. Residents are very mindful of the park. They respect the park. So on a public event or a baseball event, yeah, there's going to be people parking, but if you've ever had children in sports, you've always had to hike up the park, and there was always ample parking along the park. So being that it's only one baseball diamond, you know,
I just meant you have people coming and going. You're like, the game ends at 2, you have like 40 people coming for the next game. You know, so that's why I was wondering how much. And I like the fact that it's community involved, but I guess I'm just torn with the
TSK and, you know, our stakeholders really try to place this as small as, you know, on a very small footprint as that we possibly could, while still being able to properly house and occupy this building for the fire department to use. Again, this is an aging community here. There's always emergencies going on. Their call volume is extreme in this area, so there is a need for another fire station. Unfortunately, I wish I could go buy another property, but we can't. We're trying to utilize the resources that we have, and so this was the best place. Again, we tried to place it on different parts of the park, and this was the ideal spot without impacting the community as much as we need.
The neighbor wants to say one more thing, and I know that's kind of out of order, but he's been really pointing, so I don't know.
So real quick.
I didn't have the
diagram, but this tree perimeter that this gentleman's talking about, you're going to lose 8 to 10 50-year-old pine trees that are the same size as all these trees right here. And right here in this canopy that I tell you where I sit and I listen to the birds chirp, there's probably another 30 or 20 trees. And like and this park, this area, the only reason that it looks so good is because everybody on that street cares about this park. And you brought up schools being in the area. What they're not telling you is those schools ain't open. It ain't like when you grew up where we would be able to go into school and play basketball. They're closed down. There's nowhere for kids to run. I mean, at the age where people are complaining about kids playing too much on video games and not going out and running, this is not a good idea. I'm sorry. Thank you.
How many trees are we taking out?
And again,
we just got done talking about tree preservation.
How many are we losing?
Are you leaving? Are you taking out or replacing?
Typically, these pine trees, as you see across the valley, are aged. They're stressed.
Yeah.
So we're replacing.
It was a crazy idea.
I mean, again, it's a county project, so following, it's not like we can ask for variance on a lot of these things, so there will be, in fact, large caliper trees replaced. I totally understand the concerns.
Okay. So, anybody have any more motion? Okay.
I'm okay with just the only thing, situation that I have is the sign. Like I lived down across the street last time, it was very nice. Can you put a stipulation there that they don't like their signs up so loud of an evening? I don't know, can we do that?
Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. The only concern that I have is the sign.
Okay.
Is there a stipulation that we could put in there and ask them to try to find out here if once they get out of the neighborhood and they light up the signs then versus right there at the station? Because I have a station down by my house and you guys are awesome about not,
Deputy Chief Thomas Touchstone with the Clark County Fire Department. I would like to say, first of all, I appreciate all your time today. Is this on?
No.
Push up a minute.
How about now? Maybe not.
Yeah.
Okay,
there we go.
Obviously, I appreciate all the concerns and the questions, and I appreciate the opportunity to be here today. This would probably be our third or fourth fire station that sits in a neighborhood with houses across the street. And most recently, probably 15 years ago or so, we built a fire station over off of Warm Springs and 215, kind of nestled right into the community. From time to time, early on, we would get questions and concerns. That's actually a really busy street that the fire station fronts, much like Nellis is here. However, hearing concerns from the community, you know, our firefighters are very professional and they're very well aware, you know, of what's expected. And they understand, you know, that they're not going to run the sirens. They have no reason to, you know, run the siren until they need it when they hit Nellis, which if they were coming from a station that's further away and traveling on Nellis, they're going to have their sirens on anyways because it's a very busy street. You know, so sure, if there was a stipulation, we would gladly adhere to it. However, it's not necessary. You know, and of course, if it happens regularly where we receive complaints through the county government regarding, you know, our actions and behavior, we're always quick to respond, you know, make sure that we're blending in with the community very well. You know, so I do appreciate, you know, the concerns. We're really excited about this fire station because as I was trying to explain earlier to some peers, we've been trying to get a fire station in this area for the last three fire chiefs, which is about 15 years. We've been looking at properties. The fire chief and I actually went before we were able to settle in on this one. We actually drove around the community and tried to identify suitable locations that were available. And quite honestly, there just isn't anything available in the area where this would serve, which is nestled right in between about three fire stations. Right in the middle, it's like a vortex where we have really high call volume. And so when we're pulling from three fire stations to access this area, not only do we have, you know, longer response times to a very area to an area that has a lot of emergency responses, and we're going to hopefully pop a fire station in right here. And of course, and I hate the idea too. I hate sacrificing trees for public safety. You know, but ultimately, you know, our goal as a public safety provider is to have the fastest response times in people's most critical moments. And so we're really asking very difficult questions like, you know, what's more important, some trees? Yes, they're very important, so is fast response times. And I'm really excited as operations chief, you know, to hopefully in 2 years, as we were talking about, be able to respond out of that station and drive just a block to service somebody who's having a cardiac arrest or, you know, put out a building fire. You know, so I appreciate your time. That was a very long answer to a short question. I think my apologies.
No, you're good. Appreciate that. Thank you. I'd like to make a motion to approve WS240006 for staff recommendation.
We have a motion to approve item number 2, WS240006. Staff's recommendations. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
I just want to remind the neighbor that it does go in front of your, what is it, Scott?
Then we'll go to the BCC on 5-8. You're welcome to go there. Then we'll make the final decision. Okay, thank you. Item number 3, ET24400024, UC210434, Gill Express, Inc., use permit, first extension of time to allow vehicle wash establishment, waivers of development standards for the following: 1, reduce the setback; 2, allow an unscreened service bay door; 3, cross access; 4, landscaping required trees; and 5, reduce throat depth. Design review for proposed vehicle wash establishment on 1.2 acres in a CG commercial general zone, generally located on the north side of Flamingo Road, 155 feet east of Mountain Vista Street within Paradise. Are they here tonight? Okay, we'll table that till the end. We have items number 4, 5, 6, and 7. Is the applicant here or the representative? Do you want me to read them all into the same time?
That would be helpful if you don't mind. Thank you.
Item number 4, PA247003, DAF Holding LLC et al. And JGF Living Trust Plan Amendment to redesignate the existing land use category from neighborhood commercial NC to mid-intensity suburban neighborhood MN on 3.5 acres, generally located on the south side of Warm Springs Road, 300 feet east of Topaz Street within Paradise. Item number 5, ZC240095, DAF Holding, LLC et al. And JGF Living Trust, zone change to reclassify 3.5 acres from CP Commercial Professional Zone to an RS3.3 Residential Single Family 3.3 Zone, generally located in the south side of Warm Springs Road, 300 feet east of Topaz Street within Paradise. Item number 6, WS240096, DAF Holding, LLC et al., JGF Living Trust, waivers of development standards for the following: 1, allow alternative yards; 2, finished grade; and 3, increased wall height. Design review for a single-family residential development on 3.5 acres in an RS3.3 residential single-family 3.3 zone, generally located on the south side of Warm Springs Road, 300 feet east of Topaz Street within Paradise. Item number 7, TM24500025, DAF Holding, LLC et al., JGF Living Trust, tentative map consisting of 20 residential lots and common lots on 3.5 acres in RS3.3 residential single-family 3.3 zone, generally located on the south side of Warm Springs Road, 300 feet east of Topaz Street within Paradise.
Good evening. Robert Cunningham, 6030 South Jones Boulevard, with Tanny Engineering, representing the applicant, Summit Homes.
The site is located right here. This is Warm Springs on the north of us. There's the Union Pacific Railroad also on the east and north of the site. There's a channel and a small vacant parcel to the west of us. This is Topaz, located right here. To the north of Warm Springs is Sunset Park. There's a dog park here and a baseball complex generally in this vicinity. And to the south of us is 1 acre, almost 1 acre of lots directly above us. We were requesting to propose on this site is a residential subdivision of 20 lots with access only from Warm Springs. We have lots that back up to the perimeter along the north and the railroad tracks, and then along the south where there are 5 1-acre approximate lots. We have designed this in a way where we only have side-loaded single-story homes located adjacent to it. Really, there's only 4 homes adjacent to the 5 lots that are here. We have a street portion located here. All of these homes here would be single-story, as I mentioned. We did have 2 neighborhood meetings with the One, the first neighborhood meeting we have is with Justin R.E., or oversized R.E. lots to the south of us, right in this area. And we worked back and forth with them on modifying our site, coming back with another proposal to them. We had a secondary neighborhood meeting, and we met, I believe, all of the requests that they had at that meeting. But I'd be happy to answer questions if there are neighbors here about that. I want to go on and further describe some of the waivers that we would ask for. We have a couple of non-standard lots in here. There's a lot that's oriented right here on the cul-de-sac, and then there's another lot that's kind of on this triangular out here. So both of these are non-standard shape, and so because of it, the orientation of the home and the lots is a little bit non-standard. We requested the right waivers. One of the things that we also requested is an overhead wall at the request of the neighbors to have up to an 8-foot-high CMU wall separating our property from their property. Some of these properties directly to the south of us do have animals on them, have farms and other things on the property. It was at their request that we have that wall to provide a nice separation and the single-story homes adjacent to us so that there's no view issues with people seeing over them. We do have a request for up to a 4-foot-high retaining wall, mainly in the area down here of the site. This area would have to be lifted just a little bit more than the 3-foot allowed by the county code in order for the lot to drain back and drain out to the channel that abuts the railroad tracks. We're proposing landscaping on the perimeter, which is a small area along Warm Springs. There currently is an attached sidewalk along Warm Springs. We're proposing to maintain that and keep consistency with where the sidewalks have been built and existing for many years. We have landscaping at the entrance. Then there will be a landscaping maintained throughout the community on which homeowners yard. We have a series of one and two story homes. And I'll show you some of those. Two-story home. The two-story homes all have two-car garages, full driveways, so you can park in the driveways on the street, which is a standard street width, back of curb to back of curb, or you can park in the garages as well. The two-story homes range up to about 28 feet in height, and then there's a single-story home. Single-story home is proposed to range in heights up to 23 feet at the very apex of the roof, but at the eave of the home, it's only elevated to be 10 feet high. So the wall that we're proposing along the south boundary of our property would mainly block anything but some of the roof element of the project. We believe it's a good fit for this property. This property is very challenged. It's in an area where it's master planned and then for office. Office is a Fortunately, there's a very large office park that is built to the east of this that is having problems even maintaining full occupancy. With COVID and the number of people working remotely, it's very unlikely that this site is going to be built as an office. We think that with residential and with the concessions we've made here and working with the neighbors, that this is a really good fit for this very uniquely shaped property with all the different constraints. I'm going to end my presentation at this point and respectfully ask for your approval to be able to answer any questions that you have or other members of the
Is there anyone here that likes to speak? I have a few ones. How many do we have here that want to speak on this item? Okay. Just a couple of them?
Only if I leave something off, because
you're
moving the same house. All right. Jared Tilly, 2685 Thurman Avenue. I'll show you where that is, and then I'm sure I'll pull up the map. While he's pulling up the map, we sit right at this one right here, where their site bisects are at the back of our lot. My concerns are the size of the lots that they're going to put in, because we are a rural preserve. And for them to put in lots that are residential development within a budding or adjacent to a rural neighborhood shall transition along RMP boundaries by providing lot sizes of 10,000 square foot or greater. My other concern, where are the kids going to go to school? The middle school, Green Spine Junior High, is already full to capacity. I've been there 6 years. I've seen it. We just can't support that many houses in this area. I'm worried about light pollution. They're talking about elevation, a waiver for an elevation change. What does that do to the 8-foot wall on the back and the elevation of the 1-story house? Will they be able to walk over to their 6-foot sidewalk and look down into my yard and harass my horse that was on the back of my property? He says he worked with all the homeowners, hasn't been to my house, hasn't talked to me. Thank you.
Is there anyone else? Okay, I'll close in the public, and if you'd like to respond to that, I am kind of interested in the elevation of that lot.
Sure, I'll go through and explain that in detail. And I apologize, I guess he wasn't aware of the neighborhood meeting.
Well, okay. We got very short notice of the meeting.
Sorry, there were like 20 neighbors there, and so I'll definitely talk to them afterwards. I just want to let you know I didn't purposely leave someone out or something like that.
If you could kind of enlighten us on the elevation and what you came to with the other neighbors.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. So along the south here, we have 4 lots that abut the 5 different lots that are here. The gentleman who just spoke, his lot is right here. Mm-hmm. We're not asking to do anything with a waiver or elevation or anything on this lot in particular. That is down on this lot over here. We have asked for retaining walls are allowed up to 3 feet high in the county under standard code, and on top of it, you're allowed to put a 6-foot high screen wall. We've asked for up to 8 foot on top of that. So if that waiver gets approved, you would have an 8-foot tall wall, the ground level of the home here, and then there would be 8 feet of block that someone would stand to next to this. And I don't know anyone who can see over an 8-foot high wall on a mic unless you stand on top of something. So this right here would block the view of anyone. The horse that's on this side now, if there's retaining, would even appear taller on the neighbor's property. So it could be upwards of, if you added 3 plus 8 is 11, it could be upwards of 11 feet high.
I don't know, it just seems like, you know, you've got a lot of large properties there with homes on.
One of the things here, a lot of these neighbors have accessory structures, such as this white thing right here sits 6 feet off of the property line and it's 20 feet high. It's like a shed of some kind. There are other accessory type buildings located along here, as well as trees and other things of that nature.
Okay, so you're gonna stick 20 some homes in there.
20 homes.
In what is somewhat of a rural area, but right now it's zoned as commercial?
Right now it's master planned and planned for office.
Office park.
Okay. Just like you see over here when these office buildings are.
I mean, I'm reading this. Staff's denying a lot of whatever their opinion is to deny your request. They're referring to 9 and 12. Can you clarify what they're talking about, the setbacks? And they're saying that the burden is onto you, that you're asking for setbacks. And my problem is the rural area, when you get these properties that you're cramming so much in, and then you ask for setbacks, you get where the property lines are now behind, like you're saying, his house, and he has stuff. But between his house and that wall, there's a gap. There's that setback. So then the neighbor, that if it was a regular zone, half acre, quarter, whatever, behind him, that house would not be right on him. So can your setbacks that you're asking, is that impacting? Is that more in the front?
The two lots that have non-standard setbacks. They're not located along the south boundary at all. One of them is this triangular-shaped lot right here. You see how the house is oriented. And the reason why this is being requested is this section right here of the lot that's adjacent to this diagonal. It was requested that because of the odd shape and not having a square lot, a rectangular lot, that we apply for clarification of those setbacks. This lot over here, which is the other lot, and you can see it's adjacent to the cul-de-sac, is turned almost sideways, and you have almost a side entry driveway coming into the lot. And because of that, it has non-standard orientation and setbacks. You still have plenty of room for your rear yard and your side yards, and the driveway is a full driveway. It's actually bigger than a regular driveway, but because it's not oriented in a traditional manner, those are the two lots that we had that request put in.
Can I make a comment?
Okay.
So just in regard to where these houses would be situated, our house is built elevated, we were told, because it puts it above a 100-year floodline. So I think it would be really important to do an engineering and drainage study.
They will have to do that. They will have to do that because
these poor people aren't going to be flooded as well.
Yes.
And we worry about the drainage onto our lot as a result of the density.
What, just your opinion, what was the issues with the other residents?
Well, we started with 27 lots on this. We reduced from 27 lots to 20 lots. We came in with single story and buffered down with single story, and then we had a site plan before that had more homes backing up to their lots. I believe it was like 8 or 9 homes. And now we've oriented the lots in a manner where there's a one-to-one relationship or less. With single-story homes, and they wanted the taller wall for privacy concerns because they are animals. There are animals on the lots.
I guess I just have a problem with the fact that you have these residential properties on larger lots, and now you're going to stick 20 homes in a little corner like that, and it's just not really compatible with what's going on around it. It's not compatible with those homes. If you did something like you had where they have professional office there. I mean, that is more compatible with those homes than what you're trying to do on that site. Even if you have a single story right up against the back of those properties and you have this 8-foot wall, that's not even compatible with the neighborhood. You see where I'm headed on that. So I can't really see how you can justify. You're still going to have two-story homes beyond those single-family homes. And then they're going to have this up to maybe 8-foot wall behind their neighborhood, which doesn't make any sense at all for that type of neighborhood. And I've seen RMPs disappear because of infill like that.
The RMP here is pretty much built out, so, to the south.
Yeah. Well, like I said, those professional offices over here on the right would be even more compatible on that site than what you're proposing.
Right. I mean, you can see the infill pieces. This is one that was developed here. I think this had all two-story homes in it. Granted, it's not directly behind them.
No, they've got that.
A channel.
Channel running through there, separating a pretty good distance.
Yeah, I think it's like, I pass this all the time, and it's been deserted for years. I mean, for years. And I'm not saying that it shouldn't be built there. I'm just thinking that the profit or the neighbors, I think that you went from 27, you went to 20, and that was probably the least you could go. I think the impact of that area, my other concern is coming out on the exit onto the street, where are you... Where is your? Can you put the map back up?
Sure.
To the how they're getting in and out.
Right here. So access is very limited. Whether this is developed this way or some other way, your only means of access to this site is off of Morgan Springs right here.
Is this going to be a gated?
No.
Okay.
It's not gated. It would be right in, right out only, though, just so you know. There's an existing median island in the street right in front of it, so that limits it, so people won't run out.
I'm just trying to visualize this wall. Just because I do respect the United States. I love the fact that these folks wanted to move out to more of a ranch state and have animals and stuff. The idea of sitting in my backyard and looking at this great green wall is doesn't seem very appealing to me. I know a lot of them in that neighborhood. I wouldn't agree with that. I think there's something else that could go there besides homes. I've been driving by that lot too for many years now. I always wondered what was going to go there, but stuffing a bunch of homes in a tiny lot like that, I don't think that's a very good choice.
Anybody else have anything else? Okay, on items 4, 5, I'll give a shot. On items 4, 5, 6, and 7, I would make a motion to deny. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. This will go before the, this isn't the final decision. For those that are here, it will go to the Planning Commission on May 21st. They will make the final decision. And if you don't like that, you can always appeal it to the BCC. Item number 8, VS240106, County of Clark Fire Department, vacated and abandoned easement of interest to Clark County, located between Tropicana Avenue and Reno Avenue, and between Arville Street and Rogers Street within Paradise.
Good evening, Board. Kristen Esposito, ESPOSITO. 1555 South Rainbow Boulevard. I'm with GCW and I'm here on behalf of Clark County Real Property to propose vacation of this right-of-way here, which is no longer needed and is necessary to facilitate future development on this property. And this is the Clark County Fire Department Training Center.
Is it?
Very simple.
Easy one. Is anyone here to speak on this item? Seeing none, I'll close it to the public, open it to the board.
If nobody has an objection, I'll make a motion to approve.
We have a motion to approve, subject to staff's conditions. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Planning Commission on 521, I'm sure you know that. Item number 9, VS240109, Isaacson, Scott, vacate and abandon a portion of right-of-way being Palm Street, located between Jodi Avenue and Reno Avenue, a portion of the right-of-way being Reno Avenue, located between Palm and Jerome Street, alignment of imperatives.
Good evening.
There you go.
Chairman, town board members, Antonio Mabazin, Clark County Public Works, 500 South Grand Central Parkway, for the record. On behalf of Public Works, we are seeking to vacate for your approval for right-of-way that is not being used as right-of-way. So, for reference, on my map, we have Tropicana on the north, Mountain Vista on the east, and US 95 on the west and south. This is more or less a cleanup item. As you can see, my ash right here, when prior to US 95, these alignments and roadways actually existed. When US 95 was built, these were kind of left behind and never cleaned up. So you can see that this is right away, and it's being used today by the private homeowner. And on the south piece, we don't need it, as well as the roadway will not go any farther south or farther west because of the bifurcation of US 95. That's pretty much my presentation. I'm here to answer any questions you may have.
Does anyone have any comments on this item? Seeing none, I'll close the public, open it to the board. No one has any comment. I'll make a motion to approve. Subject to staff conditions. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Here's your. I want these for the next.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Item number 10, WS240063, Hawkins, James, and Rebecca Family Trust, and Hawkins, James A. and Rebecca L. Trust. Waiver development standards to increase fence height in conjunction with a existing single-family residence on 0.2 acres in RS 5.2 residential single-family 5.2 zone. Generally located on the south side of Rawhide Street, 350 feet east of Oxbow Street within Paradise. I got to push the water up. Push the button.
Bottom one?
Yeah, that top one there.
Thanks, Billy Pico, last name P-E-A-C-O, and 1947 Rawhide Street, Las Vegas, 89119. I am requesting my fence be allowed, I'm sorry. A fence being raised. So.
Where are you?
The house is a residential home and it is right off Eastern and Russell Street. It's located on Rawhide between Surrey and Oxbow. And this is what it originally looked like prior to the fence. And what I'm attempting to get is or get approved.
There's constant foot traffic in front of my home multiple times. I have encountered someone sitting, lying, or waiting in my front yard or on the little sidewalk that's next to my fence that's there now. After catching someone looking in the windows, my husband put in cameras. There's also cars sitting in front of my house going to this house. I don't know why, but they sit in the aisle there, people sitting in the car all the time. I don't open my front blinds of the home, which in the original picture, because I'm afraid of what's outside of the window. So in the 8 years that I've lived there, the blinds have been kept shut. If you look at any Google view thing prior to that fence, the blinds have never been opened. I cannot look at the cameras myself. Only my husband and my son have access to them because in doing that, I have started adopting and rescuing tortoises and turtles. And they continue to grow, and feeling like I'm needed is a very big positive and something that I do at home. So behind this fence is there is one view of my new tourist sanctuary area for them, as well as this photo. This is all what used to be the front yard. It had nothing there. I also installed tortoise barriers so that they cannot dig out, and there is the black sheeting here so that the tortoises cannot see out through the fence. The fence does not cause any obstruction to any of my neighbors. My neighbors on either side have both said that they liked the fence. It doesn't block anyone backing out of their driveway. It doesn't create a blind spot. It's 3 feet set back from the sidewalk. Sorry, I have the... So, this is where that fence is. There's a double pond here for the turtles. And then over here, it's all set up. There's a tortoise vegetation garden here, and to feed them. And then backyard, there is a grass area for them, as well as a pond. So my tortoises will get up to 300 pounds, if that's the breed that they are, and they do need space. My father committed suicide in September. I have added a memorial thing for him in the yard. That's besides the point, but this is very personal to me to have this fence. I didn't realize that it was in any way an issue. I mean, I guess I don't know. There's places to look that up to find out. But when I put the fence in, other than having neighbors that would have an issue, I had no clue that there would be an issue. I thought I was upgrading the neighborhood, making it look nicer. I did, as I said, put it back a few feet from the sidewalk so that if someone's riding a bicycle, it's not, you know, right in their arm space. It was asked through the planning commission, I believe, in a letter they sent to the homeowner about opening the slots in the fence, and unfortunately, that just invites people to look at. If I take the fence down, the ponds here will be a hazard that, you know, can't open water open to children that aren't attended.
Any
questions?
No. Is that the end?
Yeah.
Is there anyone here who'd like to speak on this subject, on this item?
I'm Anthony Pinto. I'm Billy's husband.
Could we get your name and address again? Because I
yes.
Don't think.
Sorry. Anthony Crenshaw, 1947 Raw High Street, last name Crenshaw, CRENSHAW. So we moved in this house 8 years ago. There was nothing in this yard whatsoever. There's nothing but dirt and weeds and rocks. Over the past 8 years, we've vastly improved the property as far as landscaping, care of the property, improvements on the home. It doesn't belong to us, it belongs to dear friends of ours that we have asked multiple times, you know, can we do this? They love us. They say, do whatever you want, treat it as your own home. So we have treated this house as our own home. We have done as many improvements as we possibly can with, you know, limited budget as well. Putting the fence up has opened up the front of our property to allow chairs to sit out and relax, enjoy the sun. We just recently had a granddaughter. We take her out there, sit out there with her. Sit in the front yard. It gives us a pastime of coming home, doing yard maintenance, tending for our animals and our livelihood. Just it's our own sanctuary away from the big city daily chaos. So by us having to remove this fence, it would just create, you know, more heartache for us as far as being able to enjoy our entire property, not just a small section in the backyard. Or whatever, we can go out in the front yard, sit and relax, and enjoy the trickle of our waterfalls and that type of stuff, the situations. So.
Is there anyone else? Okay. Did you have anything else you wanted to add? You're good? Okay. We'll close it to the public and open it to the board.
Can I see the picture, Justin? Does it go from your front door?
No, it does not.
So it doesn't have a closure, I mean, up into your driveway? Is it open?
It is open, and this picture may show that better. I swore when I was sitting back there, I had one. You see right here, it is clearly open to the front door, mailbox, everything.
And then it returns back, it comes out though, right? So that area is totally secure.
So if you're looking at my out of my front door,
okay,
this
that's what I want to see. Yes, okay.
So it doesn't block the mailman, somebody knocking on the door. There is a bedroom window that's right here.
But you're looking out into the garden.
But the home is single story, it's very dark inside. So having this sense, I can open the blinds in the front of the house and have the natural sunlight in. And I don't have an issue with transient people. I'm afraid of strangers. I'm not saying that they shouldn't be there or they shouldn't. I just, having this sense, of course they can walk down the street, but I don't feel like they're in my front yard and they're not always in my yard. It's added security.
Could I see the one in front of the house again?
The original?
No.
I'm sorry.
What you have now with the fence. Yeah. So to the right there is the front of your home.
Yes.
Okay.
And you can see like there is that little fence I was talking about that belongs to the.
Mm-hmm. And you said it's 3 foot setback. You
it's
did it.
Two
what
or
is? What is with it? What is code on that? If you did a pony wand, even if they opened it up on top, isn't it 5 feet?
It is 3 feet.
Okay.
As a solid wall. And then that's a 5 foot is a decorative fence that we read it into. You can definitely make that change.
That's what I was asking.
Yeah. May I add one more thing about that fence situation? I don't want to give an address or anything, but there's somebody in the neighborhood that has the fence according to how she described with the brick on the bottom, the iron on the top.
That leaves it open.
And then directly behind it, they have a brick wall. So they were able to bypass. You know, the situation, I can't afford to put two fences in just to be able to have it knocked down. I have a picture of it, if you need
no, to. No, I don't know how they might have done that, so that's like another...
Well, I was thinking that was like an option, and yeah. I was just saying, that's not an option.
So you're not really cutting off the whole front of your house, you're just cutting off the side so you can use it.
Yes.
Privately.
Yes.
I honestly don't have a problem with that. I understand with today, with the issues that we have with moderators, some people in the community and stuff like that. I'm starting to notice some sort of encroaching into my area too as well. And I'm huge about security. I totally understand how you feel about that. And staff has said we have approved.
What footings do you have on that wall? That's my concern. My concern, I think it's gorgeous, by the way, okay? And I think your garden is gorgeous. My problem is, did you have it constructed with like a general contractor or was there?
No, we built it.
You built it, okay. So the problem that I have is I don't know the footing in it. And the reason why they do the center blocks and the code is because even though you're safe behind the wall, and it's 3 foot back, if it's not stable, and it could fall, and I'm not saying it is, I'm sure you built a beautiful, that's my problem with the wall. And if ever, I mean, even though I do respect all the fears and all the things, 100%, I'm concerned with that if we didn't have it permitted, we didn't have it engineered, you know, looked at.
Wasn't it so that it doesn't need to be permitted
if we approve it. The county requires, if approved, 1 year to complete building permit and inspection.
Right. I think so through the building permit process, they would have to show how do you propose.
Right. So that's why
this is supposed to be part of the footing for the building permit process, even if it's approved.
So that's what I was trying to.
And they would have to bring it up to the code.
So you're just gonna, it's not, if you get approved, it's not like the wall just stays. That's what I was making sure you understand. Because like I said, I think the garden area and the wall's pretty. I don't think it does, I think in this area, we don't have like a homeowner association that says every household has to look the same. I like that it has a little diversity and your neighbors aren't here to say, I don't like it. So, and you don't have, we didn't, you know, so I'm okay with the wall. If anybody doesn't have an objection, I could make a motion. Are you guys good? I make a motion to approve with staff recommendations.
If approved. So we have a motion to approve, subject to the if approved staff conditions, which requires the building permit and inspection. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you.
So you go on to the Board of County Commission? No. Planning Commission on 5/21. They'll make the final decision. Okay, item number 11, ET23400188, WS180789, CAI Las Vegas Hotel Partners LLC, waivers of development standards, third extension of time for the following: one, increased building height; two, reduced height setback to Arterial Street for a proposed hotel; three, reduced parking; four, increased the number of tandem spaces; alternative parking layout; six, alternative driveway geometrics and design; design review for modifications to approved hotel on 0.6 acres and a CR commercial resort zone generally located on the northwest corner of Nefso Drive and Valley View Boulevard within Paradise.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the town board, Stephanie Allen, 1980 Festival Plaza Drive. Here on behalf of the applicant for an extension of time. This is an interesting project and actually a unique extension of time, not like most that you see. The project is located at Flamingo and Valley View. It was at one time this entire block here between Hefner and Nefso, Valley View, and Flamingo. That's the way it was actually approved back in 2018. And it was essentially approved in three phases. The first phase was the commercial along Flamingo. The second phase was the multifamily, which Covita built some higher end multifamily apartments right here. And then the third phase was planned and approved for the Delta Hotel, which is a Marriott brand hotel on a tiny portion of the site, about a half acre, so it's a little area. Phases one and two have been completed. I brought some pictures to show you. I don't know if you're familiar with this. It's right next to the Palms. There's a Walgreens, a Chick-fil-A, there's a Del Taco, and Denny's, and then the multifamily. And I know these are kind of sideways, sorry, but the multifamily that's built there. So the standard that the county looks at in determining if you've commenced the project is typically if you've started grading or you actually have a building permit that you're moving forward. And the reason I said this is a bit unique is because we have commenced phases one and phases two. In fact, we've completed those two phases. Phase three is now the next in line, and that officially has not commenced under the code. However, I would argue that for purposes of the overall project and the phased approach of the project, that it has commenced and that they've done a lot of processing of applications, meeting all of the conditions of approval and to get to this point. So I wanted to just walk through that. But quickly, before I do, this is the approved project that's planned here. It's the Delta Hotel. Just to show you quickly some of the approvals. So this is a 21-story hotel, and this is the site plan that was approved with the corner portion, the multifamily to the west, and then all of the commercial along Flamingo. So all of the studies have been completed. The conditions of approval require drainage, traffic studies, FAA approval. All of those have been met, or the permits on phases one and two would not have been able to be pulled, and ultimately certificate of completion and occupancy obtained. So obviously a ton of studies, a ton of money, a ton of investment and reliance on this approval and on the plans that were approved to get to this point. I put together kind of a timeline. Originally in 2017, the budget was revised in 2018. So the entirety of the approval with the 21-story hotel was approved in the end of 2018, so a little over 5 years ago. Phase one with the Walgreens was completed a year later in 2019. 2020, the first screening permit was issued, and then COVID hit. So obviously in the middle of this, you've got a pandemic that went on. There's significant work that had to be done to bring energy to the site. So across the street, there's a substation that the developer had to contribute $500,000 to get power to the site. So that was done in 2020. Also, the water lines had to be relocated. $847,000 were contributed for that water line relocation. The off-site bonds were issued in 2020, and those remain. I called Public Works today to confirm that. I spoke to Joanne, and the bond is still in place. So for this phase three, the bond will remain, obviously, until they complete the project. Phase one was fully completed at the fall of 2020, with the remaining commercial, so lobbies, Denny's, Del Taco, Chick-fil-A, all obtained their certificate of occupancy in the fall of 2020. The first extension of time was issued in January of 2021, and that was an administrative extension of time. Starbucks signed on, which I have the lease for under the Delta Hotel, so the Delta Hotel, there's an agreement for a franchise for the Marriott, as well as Starbucks in the lobby, in May of 2021. Phase two was completed in June of 2021, and those Toledo apartments actually required the use of the Delta Hotel site while they were constructing. This is a very, very constrained area, and so they actually leased the Delta Hotel property for 24 months so that they could use it for construction. But that was completed, phase two, essentially, at the middle of 2021. The second extension of time was issued in June of 2022, and then they had financing and a loan in place with First Republic, and then that bank collapsed. So unfortunately, their lending went away. Urban Bay Financial was the group that was going to be lending, and I have those documents too if anyone's interested. But that was a huge delay for them. Obviously, in February of 2023, we filed the third extension of time in December, a few months later, and here we are in the climate we're in today. So they do not plan to start this project until they have a better lending environment. They're hoping that will be after the election in November. They were starting their loan process again, but they do need financing to get this third phase off the ground. The grading is complete, is my understanding, so they're ready to dig, essentially, but we do need the financing in place to get rolling with that. This is a list of the permits that they have gone through, so just to give you an idea of all of the work in progress that has gone on, this is why it's a unique one that a ton of reliance has gone into this project to get to this point. So FAA permits, a number of them have been applied for. Building permits for phases 1 and 2. They had to do a ton of dewatering on the site. There were some wells that had to be relocated. So those permits, as I mentioned, all of the drainage has been submitted and approved. Dust control encroachment permits, environmental permits, the grading permits that I mentioned, and there was an agreement with Clark County in place. The fire permits. Off-site permits. So everything on the off-site has been finished, except for there's a small portion on Valley View in front of the Delta Hotel that still needs to be completed with the sidewalks, but the curb and gutter are in place. It's just basically the detached sidewalk that needs to be addressed. And as I mentioned, that off-site bond is still in place with Clark County. And then here's, you know, all the other various permits that they have obtained. There's a grading agreement that was reported in 2021. We have the Nevada Power payment they made, as I mentioned, about $500,000 for Nevada Power and all of their agreements with NV Energy. The Water District payment I mentioned for $847,000. There's their off-site bond. The Clark County. Their storage agreements, I mentioned, they do have a ton of supplies sitting in storage on the Palms property adjacent to them. So it's an agreement with the Palms where they have $1.5 million in steel sitting there ready that they've invested in, as well as $500,000 in wood that they have ready to go on the property. So they've invested a tremendous amount in the supplies. I've got some pictures of the steel that's sitting on that storage site here you can see. This is the wood that's stacked up, so they're ready to dig. It'll be their first phase, will be shoring the steel for the basement, which is where all of the back of house for the hotel will go, is underground. Here is the Marriott agreement I mentioned, as well as the Starbucks agreement that they have in place. And they provided just kind of a market overview, which I probably won't go through all of that, but this particular developer is a real developer. They just finished a Westin in Tempe, Arizona, that they were able to secure their financing. It wasn't the same lender, obviously, and that was just completed last year. They will be going forward with the project. It's not if, it's when. And we will be tremendously damaged if this extension of time were denied and we have to come back with the new Title 30. Obviously, a lot of investment has taken place based on this entitlement. And we very much appreciate your extension of time or approval of that extension of time tonight so that we can proceed with phase three of this project. I'm happy to be answering questions.
Is there anyone here in the public like to speak on the item? No one?
Okay.
Okay. Seeing no one, I'll close to the public and open it to the board. I guess my question is, when are you going to start?
So their plan is first quarter of 2025 is when they think they'll be ready to actually pull a permit. They have to get their FAA resubmitted. They've had it approved a number of times, so they have to do that resubmittal, and then they have to get their financing. But otherwise, they've got materials ready to go, and they just need to start the project.
Because what I see from this is the staff doesn't really have a problem with it. It's planning that has a problem. But even if it's approved, under the if approved conditions, you have until December 19th of 2025, period.
That should be a year or so.
But you said you're still looking for financing?
They are. They're working on it now. Their interest rates are terrible, so they don't want to enter into an agreement today. They're
business.
Hoping that by the end of the year after the election, the interest rates go down and we can enter into a more reasonable interest rate, is what they told me. Hopefully.
Really rolling on the dice on that one.
I hope they go down too. I think we all be friendly.
Okay. I'll make a motion to approve, subject to the preliminary or the comprehensive planning, if approved, conditions. We have until December 19, 2025 to commence. And then it's the rest of the bullet points. So. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Approved, or, yeah.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Have a good night.
Okay, item number 12, WS240094, Avila Jose. Waivers of development standards for the following: buffering and screening standards and two driveway geometrics. Design review for an office building on 0.4 acres in a CP commercial professional zone within the airport environs, AE60 overlay, generally located on the north side of Russell Road, 360 feet west of McLeod Drive and within Fairlakes.
Good evening, my name is Rudy Hernandez, 3121 Paul Garden Court. I'm representing the Sierra Group. We are proposing to develop an office building in a CP residential. Right now, it's currently zoned for CP, which is basically zoned for residential
residential that's going to be converted into commercial. Unfortunately, the building had a fire, so we had to raise the building because it was we couldn't keep it. So we basically raised the building and we're going to do a new freestanding two-story structure on the site. We're asking for a waiver of standards on the buffering of the wall. Per the code, we have to have an eight-foot wall between a residential and a commercial property. And unfortunately, we are unable to contact our neighbors. So that's why we can't comply with the raising of the fence. We do have an option to comply with it. Because this fence is so old, we are opting to put vinyl panels 2 feet high to make us comply with the 8 foot height, which is, well, wouldn't be too impacted on the wall because they're very lightweight and doesn't have to have the structural look impact as, you know, engineered and all that to get the 8 foot height. Also, we're asking for a buffer of standard because on the west side, we're required a 15-foot standard, and we're asking reducing it by 4 feet for a sidewalk. My client actually has employees that come in, and they're, I want to say blue-collar, they're the construction workers. They come to the bathrooms and they're dirty and everything, so we provide them a restroom outside, so that's why we have access around there to the bathroom. And I'll show you the plan right now. Well, like I said, this is approximately 6,200 square feet. This is the restroom I was referring to for the employees with the path going around. As you can see, it's basically just a commercial building for office. Nothing too spectacular about it. We're going for a modern farmhouse look. Which I believe would be compatible with the neighborhood, and it would actually enhance the neighborhood because it's not bringing anything that's not appropriate to the neighborhood. This is basically keeping that same residential look and actually enhancing the neighborhood, I believe. Again, we're going with the modern farmhouse look. We're complying with everything that has occurred with the articulation of the building and the heights for the roof. And we're also complying with all sustainability aspects of the new code, which is cool roofs, shading the windows are going to be opaque. We're going to have coverings over the entrances. And this is the landscape, as you can see. We are going to keep the existing trees. We are going to hire an arborist to come verify if those trees are still viable to keep. Because right now, since the lot is not being utilized, those trees are pretty much dying because they're not getting water on a daily basis. But we do have some existing trees we're trying to utilize, and we're also adding some additional trees. So, with that in mind, we're asking for a waiver of building standards for the driveway. A commercial driveway requires a 25-foot radius and a 15-foot radius. But we have a light pole right here, and we also have a fire hydrant. And per the code, that driveway needs to be 6 feet away from any utilities, and we cannot comply with that, even if it's on the other side. So we're asking for a waiver of that. But we are compliant with the roof depth and everything. We're just asking for a waiver through the code. That's it.
Okay. Is there anyone here to speak on this item? Seeing none, I'll close the public and open it to the board. We have one, I can't really say they approve or disapprove of it. Basically, they had some concerns, and they're not in country to address them at the moment. They live on Moon Circle.
Is that the property behind us?
That'd be the property.
We tried to contact them several times. I've actually went there 3 times, and I cannot contact them. If you said they're out of town, that's probably why I can't contact them.
Well, they're 800 miles away at the moment.
That's
be there.
A good possibility why.
But they were concerned about the wall.
Again, on their side of the wall, their property is actually lower. Mm-hmm. So if we do raise the wall, it's going to be significantly higher than the 8 foot that is required on their side. On our side, it's going to be 8 foot.
On your side, because they thought that it was going to be less than... That's less than 6 foot.
No, no. Right now, their property is significantly lower than ours.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a retaining wall and then a 6 foot wall high CME wall. But because the wall was, I think it was constructed back in the 70s. So we're concerned that if we add 8 or 3 courses of CME on top of that, that it's not going to be structurally sound. So we propose to use a vinyl. Basically, we're putting the plank, and then insert these vinyl planks that would give us a 2 foot height. To give us the 8 foot height.
And they were also concerned about, I guess there's a pine trees behind there?
Those pine trees are staying, yes.
And they were concerned because the roots apparently are invading their wall.
Excuse me?
It's invading their wall.
Well, we propose to eliminate all the trees, but then
comprehensive
planning came and told us no.
We have all conversations about those trees.
Yes, but again, we proposed to remove the trees entirely and proposed to put all new trees, but we were told no, leave the trees based on you guys just wanting to keep all the trees. So we are going to get an arborist out there to verify if the trees are viable to keep.
Yeah, because
he said if in the case of disease or they're just too dead or to even reclaim or even bring back, we will address them at that time.
It said pine trees planted on their side a few feet from the wall have now caused cracks in the wall and 2 feet up on our side. That was the...
I can barely hear you.
They said that the trees planted on their side were causing cracks in the wall.
On their side or on our property?
On your property.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they're about 2 foot up on the wall, so... It would not surprise me. I don't know how close the trees are.
They're really close.
They're
really close.
They're approximately 3'6" away from the wall. I went out there to take measurement.
Right. But the roots are going to go...
The roots, or I don't know about what's going on down below.
So in that case, it would be understandable that you don't want the wall falling into your yard. But
right.
I almost can guarantee that wall, because I owned a property a little up the way years ago, and the walls were built back in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
So I almost guarantee that wall can't support, and I think it's the easier way to say it, and I don't know what the neighbors care about, but I wouldn't want to look in my backyard and see green or something ugly on top of the fencing.
These are very nice planks, and again, we're going to pay them.
No, you said to raise the fence per code, so you were
per
saying,
code, yeah, 8 foot.
What are you putting on top, you said?
Vinyl, because of the wall so old,
yeah.
We have to put 3 additional courses of wall.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think the wall... to sustain 3 additional courses of wall. So I came over to a different source where I had it on the drawing, but I was told to give like a comprehensive plan not to show it.
Oh.
But basically, it's a detail where we have a plank, it's approximately 2 feet high with slots. You bring in the slot and you insert it on top.
Okay, so that's what you're doing.
So bring the fence and then you cap it.
Right.
So it's only along commercial and residential property,
okay,
which would be the east and I believe the north end.
My other problem is when you're talking about a commercial property and how you're the size of it over there, because I know it's a CP, the entrance and exit onto Russell, that road is deadly.
Yes.
And you only have one way in and one way out, correct? On that property, how you're setting the map when you're doing it. So you're both backing into each other basically, and you're both coming out. So if a car's coming in, you only have that like a small driveway.
It's for commercial. It's per the code. Everything's per code. We're 44 foot driveways, 18 foot parking. So it's per code. We're not introducing.
Because most of us, most of the properties over there have a U shape.
Right, so this one doesn't. So, using the commercial pan driveway standard, which is what they're proposing,
which is option
right,
B.
Right, so
we'll meet.
It's an old-fashioned version of how we all used to go pan driveway. It's more of that. Okay. It's more typical, like you see on Eastern Avenue and so on. It's not a curb return that gives you that smooth transition between the traffic and so on.
And when we tried to tie with the curb commercial driveway, but again, we have a fire hydrant and a light pole, and I know that we're not going to be moving a light pole or a fire hydrant. And if I knew what you guys said, we have to be 6 feet away.
Yeah.
And we couldn't tie with that. So.
And then the size of the property over there, it's with the CP overlay, doesn't that have to kind of blend in, or do they not have to regulate? Is that area not regulated by standard blending in, is that area past that now, when we're over on the other side of Eastern?
So what happened with the new road and school across the road over there, then?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, at one point we had to close that.
So that...
That would clear my whole question.
So the way that was balanced is because of the residential adjacency standards. So all of that stuff that everybody was trying to get to, going back to where we put... I can't remember if that's a work in the 90s or if it was part of the new code, the Title 39 2000. Either way, it's been in place for a really long time. And so we took a lot of those standards, stuff from Spring Valley, with the CNA, and so on, and we put all of those, that good new stuff that everybody was asking for, and where we could see, hey, this is really, really good, we put it into residential adjacency. And I think it's almost the best part of it. So, I mean, that's an oversimplification of the code.
Right. But I'd say we're all learning.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have to ask because my brain is going the whole way.
We've met a lot of standards. Now, if the neighbor, if John, is that email that you have there, is that public record that was sent to the town board and to,
yeah,
to the planning department? I haven't seen it.
I have no record of that.
It went to the secretary. So
they came to me and
not seen that. So, what we would always do if we receive something like that is say, hey, we have this on record. And then we always encourage folks, you know, if they're not going to tell
us. I'll be more than happy to correspond with emails where that wants.
So, I mean, you can take this public record and I put it in file.
And then forward it.
So we can make sure you guys have a copy of this.
Okay.
And we are. Picture of it,
yeah,
and then you'll have their contact, and then you can try to contact them from there. And you can get something in writing from them for when you go to the
But yeah, we're trying to comply with raising the fence to 8 feet, but not by adding three courses of CME because we think that the fence is so old, it would sustain it. But with these plywood planks, they're lightweight and it's
okay.
And I can send them a copy of the fence that you're proposing.
Yeah, I've got a video.
So
Okay. Anybody if the board doesn't have anything else, I'm gonna make a motion to approve.
Okay, so we have a motion to approve. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Was staff conditions, if approved? Or?
No, they were recommending approval.
Okay.
Well,
usually
that's what I said. I was asking, like, do I have to clarify if they're recommending?
Well, usually I hear.
Item number 13, ZC24. 0104 Sunset and Spencer LLC zone change to reclassify 2.2 acres from a CG commercial zone, general zone, to an IP industrial park zone within the airport environs AE 65 and AE 70 overlay, generally located on the south side of Sunset Road, the east side of Spencer Street within Paradise.
Thank you.
Yeah,
would you like me to read both of them?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, okay. Item number 14, WS 240105, Sunset and Spencer LLC, waiver of development standards for retaining wall height, design review for an office warehouse on 2.2 acres in an IP industrial park zone within the airport environs AE 65 and AE 70. Overlay generally located on the south side of Sunset Road and the east side of Spencer Street within Paradise.
Mark Sims, STDARMS 4056, Martin Drive, representing the client, Spencer and Sunset LLC. We're here today for a design review and a change of use. Performing change of use and the creative development standards. We are closing in the 30,000 square foot tilt-up building with a six suites. We don't know what use is going to go into those suites as of yet. He hasn't had any funds or any tenants as of yet. We are meeting all of the Title 30 codes, setbacks, heights on the building. The only thing that we're not meeting is the height of the retaining walls. We have to bring the site up by 5 feet, so it is bringing to Spencer and Sunset Road, which the low part of the site is in the back corner. That are bringing that up, so we have to ask him for a waiver to bring up the retaining wall from 3 foot to 4 foot. We've met all of the sustainable criteria that's in the new Title 30, landscaping, new parking, so we've met all of those requirements. We've got a total of 7 points out of the 7 points that are required. So we have all the shading, all the trees, all of the landscaping, low water trees, and we've met all those requirements. This is the floor plan. The six suites, as I said, that we just don't know who's going in there. They're mostly warehouse with a 1,000 square foot offices for each one of the suites. It could be that one person takes the whole building, or it could be we have six tenants, so we just don't know what's going on there. We have a, you see that relations? You guys are right in front of us. The heights basically are 42 with two locations that we have 45 or 48. 45-10, and I believe 47-10 on the beach. Other than that, the majority of the height is at 42. And then the last page is just the color elevations. You can see that we're tilt up with basically just different colors on both sides. And we broke up the facade. So it's not just flat all the way across. There's pop-outs and windows, and inside of each one of those pop-outs, the windows are inside those, so the shade structure is incorporated into the pop-outs. And that's the end of my presentation.
Is there anyone here like to speak on the matter? Seeing no one, close the public, open it to the board.
One of the things that staff had concerns with is that it was in the air aviation noise problem.
Yep.
What if you're not knowing what goes in there, how does that affect that? Like, that's one of their pet peeves, because it is, it's pretty, when you're standing out there, they fly over.
Absolutely. So we have to submit this, and we submit to the building department. We have to submit to, I think, the aviation department. They're going to look at how we are constructing it. So there's certain items that we have to put in there. Sound barriers in the walls, sound baths in the walls, the windows have to be a certain sound rating. So all of those things would have to be incorporated into the design when we're doing the construction documents. I called them, I reached out to them, they told me there's nothing that we need to do now. They want to see the plans and we submit it to the building department. So we submit to the building department, we submit to the aviation, they look at it and tell us what needs to be done. When we start doing the design of the building, we'll have to go down and we can get their criteria and what we need to put in there, and we'll have to show them the construction documents of what we've done to eliminate the noise.
So, the retaining wall.
Yes, sir.
I guess you're wanting to put in a higher wall, where they're saying there are other options. They listed two of them.
So, I don't know what the other options would be, because again, we're going to explain this to staff and I will sit down with them. We have to bring it up. So if we leave it, bring it up, how do we retain the actual dirt and everything with the fence 2 feet below it?
Well, they're indicating that the property to the east is undeveloped and the finished grade could change the time of development. Staff does not support a waiver for the higher retaining wall, and there are other available options that do not require a waiver. For example, section 30.0403C allows a retaining wall up to 6 feet in height. If a fence is located on top of the retaining wall, which is 85% open, another option would be to provide a tiered retaining wall.
So that's kind of funny, because when I went and I brought that to them, they told me just the opposite of that. So that's why I had to go back. We went through, look at it, we went through, I think, three or four different meetings with them. And originally, we were just going to put the wall on top of it and say, make it a 6 foot. They said, nope, came back. You're only allowed to have it at 2 foot or 3 foot or whatever it was, and you had to get a waiver for that. So we weren't asking for the waiver. We were told that we needed the waiver.
So are you willing to do it at the 6 foot with the fence located on top?
Absolutely.
Which is 85% open, or
yep.
Another option they provided was a tiered retaining wall. Tiered retaining wall.
Either one of those options will work for us.
So how would county deal with that? I mean, he's saying that they approached that idea and were told no.
Do you have drawings that showed an 85% open fence on the east property?
It wasn't 85% open.
Okay, so anything less than the open standard
mm-hmm.
that's required would require a waiver. And we would refer back to that.
Okay.
So if it wasn't meeting the standard, you need the waiver. So I can do nothing but apologize to you if that wasn't conveyed clearly to explain what your options were
okay.
for your design. If you can meet that standard and provide revised plans to staff, you would provide it before the meeting, and so you're going to the board. Correct. Yeah, you're going to the board on May 22nd.
Okay.
You can work with the staff member to do revised plans, and then at the board meeting, you would then withdraw that waiver if you're able to meet the standard.
Okay.
Per code.
So
I would withdraw it at this meeting.
Yeah.
I think you could approve saying this is your understanding of the situation. If you're okay with it, if you don't.
We can approve it with the understanding they're going to get with.
Right, with staff versus withdrawing here, because I want to just make sure. So if you're okay with the waiver as presented, you could approve or deny the waiver saying you don't want a solid wall or whatever is currently proposed,
mm-hmm.
but then say, applicant talked about meeting the standard by working with staff before the board meeting. It's a little weird, but it's the only thing I can think of that could put you at ease.
Okay, so we could make a motion to approve 13.
Which is the zone change.
The zone change. That's
you're
not
okay
an issue.
And then the waiver for the retaining wall, the 4 foot retaining wall.
So let's do with 13, but make a motion to approve item 13. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That motion carries.
I have a question real quick on the other
on 14.
One. On 14, yeah, we can continue
so
to discuss that one.
If could you approve it with the mindset or with the comments that they put in there, that we had to make those comments, make sure that we actually made the change and approve it for that? Because we don't have a problem with either one of those options.
Can
or
we
do we have to take the waiver off of the table?
Then if we approved it subject to them getting with county and agreeing on
we could do
either
it.
Option?
Yeah, we could do it. Yeah, I mean, I just...
Before 522.
Yeah, staff before you get to the board meeting, or even holding at the board meeting if you need additional time to work out whatever the design is. But we're talking something that's... 3 weeks away, I'm
sorry
to
remember.
Yeah,
I'm laughing because now I gotta go set up an appointment with them.
No, you don't know. I'm gonna hit you by business.
Okay, there you go. We're all good.
We're good.
So, I would make a motion that we approve item 14 subject to the applicant getting with current planning in regards to the two options available on the wall before the Board of County Commissioner meeting. Okay. Does the secretary have all that? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you.
Thank you. Yeah.
I'll take my paper back. I assume you don't need it.
Okay. I'd make a motion for item number 3, return to the board.
The May 14th meeting?
Yeah.
Okay. Do we have all in favor?
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. General business?
She ran off.
General business?
None.
She ran off. No general business.
We only have any.
Okay, item number 8, comments to the general public. A period devoted to comments by the general public about matters relevant to the board's jurisdiction will be held. No discussion, action, or vote may be taken on this agenda item. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the speaker's podium. Clearly state your name and address, and please spell your last name for the record. If any member of the board wishes to extend the length of the presentation, this will be done by the chairperson or the board by majority vote, and there's no one here for that. So moving on, next meeting date is May 14th, 2024. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
I make a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.